Welcome back, everybody, to SFG Podcast episode 19. I'm your humble, gracious host, Mr. Lion, aka Lion Zion 4. Back again for another episode for the Head Top. I am with my co-host, the scruffy one himself, Coach Sick, aka Mr. Sick, aka Top Striker in the Merrick Super League. CKA, former Plantation FC striker. How you doing today, sir?
I'm good, bro. You're silly, dog.
Top Striker, dog. White side. Anyways, so glad you're doing good, sir. Last time we were on, we had V2 on. Shout out to V2 over there somewhere pissing off other Liverpool fans, I'm sure, and other football fans alike somewhere. And a not so great game. I think we were just talking way too much crap, and that ended up biting us in the behind because we took a very, very, very bad 3-0 loss to Liverpool, which we were going to get into very quick and really fast. But on top of that, since then, we have had Slavia Prague in the quarterfinals of the Europa League, which we tied 1-1 in the first leg at home. And after that, we beat Sheffield United 3-0. Was that at home too as well? That was away from home.
That was away from
home. Away from home, setting us up for a showdown in the Czech Republic. Isn't that where Slavia Prague's from, right? From Czech Republic.
Yeah.
In the Czech Republic, where we will be playing Slavia Prague in the second leg of the Europa League quarterfinals for a chance at the semifinals of Europa League. Hopefully we'll get there. But a lot to unpack in today's podcast. So we're going to try to go through the last couple games and basically try to do a bit of a preview for the Slavia Prague game coming up. Sounds good?
Definitely, man.
All right. So let's just get right into it. We played like crap against Liverpool and took a beating. I don't want to talk. Nice. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I was definitely being nice by saying that. I don't want to talk too much about this game because, again, this game really in hindsight means nothing to us. It would have meant something had we got something out of it. Maybe we'd had an outside chance at top six. But now with us being... I don't even know how many points off. With us being in ninth place at 45 points, we are 7 points off of sixth place, 9 points off of fifth place, 10 points off of fourth place, with not that many matches to go. So, again, I don't think that... I don't really think we're looking at the league at this point for a finish because at this point it looks like the only outside chance we have for Champions League is to win Europa League. So we're going to definitely focus more on the Europa League game coming up. But let's talk about it. I guess we'll start with the lineup, right, for Liverpool, against Liverpool. Leno in goal, Kieran Tierney on the left, Gabriel in the center back, pairing with Holding, Chambers at right back. Making, I think, his first debut at right back all season, right? Possibly. In the Premier League, I mean. Possibly. Maybe not. I mean, I'm not too sure. Partey and Ceballos.
That's what I was going to say. He started against West Ham.
West Ham, right? In the 3-3? He did. He did. It's his second appearance. So Partey and Ceballos in the double pivot. Xhaka left out. I think he was sick, right?
He was sick.
Yeah, he was sick. And then the front three of Aubameyang, Odegaard, Pepe, and Lacazette up front. Strong team, no?
On paper, yeah. Going forward, it should have been a lot better. But I don't know. I feel like he struggles to get Aubameyang and Lacazette going when they're on the field together. And obviously Aubameyang is not he scored a lot of goals out wide, but he is more happy down the middle. So I mean, it's tough to get them both on the get them both going.
Mm-hmm.
But you have that front four, you gotta do a lot better.
Of course.
My thing is
a lot better than three total shots on goal.
That's my thing, is like we have that front four and we should be pressuring Liverpool a lot more and going at them a lot more, but I feel like it was the complete opposite. We kind of sat back and kind of let them kind of dictate, you know, the game and all of that, bro. So, I don't know. I think the lineup wasn't the worst since Xhaka wasn't there, but I still think we should have done a lot better, you know, going forward.
Oh, definitely. But
we sat back and made them come at us. And obviously, if you give Liverpool time at the end of the day, at some point, they're going to break you down.
Definitely.
Definitely. Get their chances. But
and speaking of Liverpool, their team looked less than stellar. Still missing their center back pairings. They had Alisson in goal. Trent on the right, who had man of the match for, well, according to Wusku, who scored at the highest match rating of 8.3. Couldn't have really much to do. Phillips in center back. Kabak at center back as well. And Robertson on the left. Milner, Fabinho, and Thiago in the central midfield pairing. And the famous front three, Mane, Salah, and Firmino. So, I mean, the first half, I mean, we didn't get scored on. But, I mean, there really wasn't much to talk about for us going forward. They held most of possession. the team just didn't. We just didn't really look like we were at the races, you know, and that normally happens, you know. I mean, we're normally that type of team, right? Where we're just, I mean, this season, especially where we just come out flat, right? We're just a team that until we get scored on, we don't really, like, we're not even, it seems like we're not even at the races, right? And it's just one of those things where we can't seem to fix that, whether it's Arteta, whether it used to be Emery, when it was Wenger. We just were never a team that came out guns blazing. Sometimes we would, but then it would trickle down. But you know, Liverpool pressed us, and when they pressed us, we just didn't have an outlet. It just didn't. I mean, we getting forward just didn't look good at all, you know. And that was surprising, considering, you know, we'd been asking for Lacazette and Aubameyang to play together. But I think it furthers the belief that you can't put them two together in that pairing. In Arteta's system, it just doesn't seem like they work together, Lacazette and Aubameyang. I think you need to have either one of them two playing center forward. I think, you know, having Aubameyang going down the left-hand side and you know, helping out defensively. I mean, the first 20 minutes, I saw him defending in our 18-yard box way too much. And that's not what you want for your top goal scorer. Like, you don't want your top goal scorer defending in your own 18, right? That's normally a recipe for disaster. But it continued to happen, and, you know, we continued to take chances, and we, you know, ended up going, you know, getting out of the first half. I don't remember us having a significant chance on goal in the first half. Do you remember at all?
No. We haven't had any chances that would have been like, okay, we should be up one or at least tied 1-1 or whatever. But
I think I remember, like, Pepe maybe had gotten a header or something, like, around the 30th minute. I think I remember seeing Aubameyang do that.
That means it wasn't a significant chance.
Correct. Not at all.
That's something that we would have definitely remembered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
I agree.
I don't know.
I remember Milner having the best chance, though, of the day. I think, I mean, of the first half when he had that pullback and hit the post. So
it's a struggle, but it is what it is, man.
And then halftime came. Tierney came off injured, which was a huge loss for us. And now we know he may be out for the season, possibly, at least for the next month or so. and, you know, up steps Cedric, right? Cedric came on for him. And then a 58th minute, Danny Ceballos came off for Elneny, which also was surprising, considering the fact. And then Diego Jota entered the game. And that guy, I mean, he just got us to love playing against us, right? I mean,
every time he's played against us, he's been scoring.
Yeah, every time.
Literally,
he's every time.
He's come off the bench and scored, like, in the first, like, 5 minutes.
Yep, And lo and behold,
it's never failed.
And it's like, and he scores a header too. I mean, how many times have we spoke about short, you know, attackers scoring headers? Now, granted, what a ball from Trent Arnold, right? Great ball, world class. Yeah. You know, he can do that. But like, holding, you gotta do better, man. I mean, I'm sorry, but you got to do better. Have to. You're 6'15". Like, you can't have this 5 foot nothing guy winning headers behind you. I mean, and the ball, it really was the ball more than anything. But, like, I mean, hold it. And it's the second time because Sterling did the same thing last or earlier in the season, remember? And it was against Rob Holding. This almost identical, like, I think the way the positioning was and everything. So, I mean, and once, you know, once that happened, you know, the floodgates just opened. Was it Chambers, though? Was that Chambers? So Chambers tried to get there. I'm looking at it now. Chambers tried to get there, but, you know, Holding, just the ball just beat Holding. And then the second goal, you know, hard luck from Gabriel. But if that's any other center back, we're going to say we would be saying he needs to do better. So he has to do better. Gabriel tries to go to the ground. There's a long ball gets played over the top. Salah chases. Gabriel looks like he has it under control, tries to slide. Doesn't get the ball. Salah goes and pokes it from him. And then Megs Leno, 1v1. 2-0. Thanks for coming. Game over. And then the third goal, I think, was consolation. Diego Jota again. You know, and before the third goal, mind you, Leno made a huge 1v1 save, which he, like, you know, which he averages at least one or two of those every game. The third goal, I think, was like the 84th minute. Game's pretty much done. Another just stake. I think it was from the right side. Yep. Salah plays the ball into Mane. Mane turns. Holding gets turned. Elneny tries to recover, but it's too late. Diego Jota runs in and 3-0. Thanks for playing. Everything's done. Just a poor game. Poor game all around. Partey looked absolutely unfit. He looked like he just, you know.
This man was doing all that running.
All the running.
Looking unfit too.
Yeah, true. But still.
Not to.
I agree, though. I agree with what you're saying. I would be. I mean, I think anybody would be, the amount of running he had to do today, that day. But still, he definitely looked like he was unfit.
But this is why I tell you, like, even though we need to find better, Xhaka is like really big for our team at the moment because he makes Partey's like job a little bit easier. Whether he, you know, take away all the mistakes and all the stuff that he does, he makes our team better. Not even just
Partey. No, he does. He does. Good, he does. He
makes our team he does. A lot better.
And we'll get moment, to that. We'll get to the Xhaka thing. Yeah. I don't want to dwell too much on it in this sort of context.
Yeah. I mean, forget that. You know me. I'm trying to be done with this conversation anyway.
No, but for sure. For sure.
Since we done took this 3-0 L. Forget this Liverpool team. But regardless, though, like, it's a big loss for us because, you know, Ceballos, it's tough, man, because he suits the EPL. That's just my opinion.
I mean, it's an up and down thing over there, man. I just.
That's the thing. Like, he'll have, like, a really good game. Like, he played really well against Sheffield.
Yep.
Not to jump around, but like he played really well against Sheffield.
He did. He'll have another game like that.
Exactly. You know? Has another game like this. But to keep going though, like it was a horrible performance for us. And, you know, I feel like it kind of carried on into that next game against Prague.
Yes. So we'll get into Prague right now. So that way we just we'll quickly move past this. So Prague. Let's go into the lineup.
Yeah, we got Leno in goal, Bellerin, Holding, Gabriel, Suarez on the left, Partey, Xhaka in the middle, Saka on the right, Smith-Rowe down the middle, Willian, and Lacazette.
Was that for us? 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, and I didn't mind the lineup. But now that I see it, I am just going to say I need Saka to play left back. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, today I think that game kind of proved it that he should be playing left back.
Yes, and that's the thing. Like Suarez, I don't mind him because he's been playing good when he you know had to go over there every once in a while. He played decent, but if he's not on the right side, I'm not gonna risk him, you know, using his weak foot when we have Saka that can play there. And we could just make Pepe, which has been playing, you know, a lot better over the last few weeks, playing his position. So, like, it's not like we're losing too much because, you know, Saka's going to go up the field. So he's going to be helping in the attack a lot, just like how Tierney does when he plays. So I feel like when he plays there, and we saw that last year before, you know, before Tierney fully was fit and he was coming back from his big injury. We saw that last year that Saka could do, you know, that job very well. And that just shows, you know, how versatile he is. But he needs to play left back because this is literally like a do or die situation for us. Like if we don't win this, there's no way of European football for us next season. So like
100%. 100%. I hear you, man.
You gotta kinda go
tough
all
decisions,
out.
Man. Tough decisions, but you gotta make it.
Yeah, exactly.
So Slavia Prague 4-3-3. Some of these guys, I don't really know any of these guys, man. Let's just say 4-3-3. The only one I do know is Alawinka, who I think used to play in the Premier League, right? If I'm not mistaken. Or he played somewhere. I know who he is though.
He played for Genk.
Was it Genk? Sorry. Yeah. He's international Genk. Though, right? Isn't he Nigerian international?
He's Nigerian, yeah.
Ah, yes. Okay. So yeah, so I knew, you know, Alawinka playing out wide. But so let's just quickly go through this. First half, underwhelming once again. Definitely had the majority of the chances.
It's crazy though, because Prague had some really good chances. Maybe. Like it's not like we had like all the great chances to win this game.
Yep.
Prague could have definitely scored as well. So like even though we gave it away in the 90th minute, they had their chances to put us away, you know.
100%.
Earlier in the game.
110%, actually. But I mean, we still also had the, you know, the bulk of the chances. I think Saka had one first, the first couple of minutes where he tried to cut it back and he had a really good through ball from Lacazette. He tried to cut it back and on his left, and it didn't work out where I think he could have just hit it first time. But they also did have some chances though. You're right. They definitely had some chances. I just remember in the first half though, us having the bulk of it. I think the biggest shot they had was the one that went over the bar. And Olawinka had a chance that went straight to Leno. But then Cedric had a decent game. He also had some freedom on the left-hand side. Rob Holding had a big chance in the first half too, with the header that went over the that the keeper put over the net. And I think that was the main chances we had first half. And then I think second half, you know, I see Arteta was really mad going into the locker room, mainly because we just weren't attacking enough. We had chances, yeah, but it wasn't enough chances. Second half, early PK shout from Slavia Prague to us. I don't know how that wasn't. I thought that was an initial tackle inside the box, right? Like I don't know why we ended up taking the free kick outside the box. But it looked like a penalty to me. What do you think?
I might have to agree. I mean,
it's very close. It's close because he was in the box. But like, yo, looking back at it, I don't understand how this was not a penalty. Like the initial contact, yes, outside the box. I guess. Looking at it again, initial contact was right outside the box. But like, I don't know. But Willian hit the crossbar or hit the side. You know,
hit the yeah. I agree.
Hit the post. The free kick. Yep. Very good free kick. Keeper
didn't even move.
Yeah, he was frozen. No, he moved. He moved last minute, but he was, you know, he was pretty much frozen from the start. I honestly thought before he hit this, I was like, I really hope Willian takes this.
Because yeah, like I'll give it to him because he hits some pretty good free kicks.
He does hit some from the dead ball. If one thing about the disappointing season Willian has had, he can hit a dead ball.
He got bulk of his assists off of that.
Yeah, and like interesting fact, he leads our team in assists. He has 6 assists on the Premier League this season. Half of them came in like one game, but in the very first game of the season. But he does have 6 assists.
No, yeah, he has 5. I think he got 1 in Europa League. He got 5. Oh, okay. I was literally gonna say the same thing. So I was looking to see how much he had, but he got 5 of them, and like you said, the bulk of them were. I think he got like 2 in the one game, and then like another 2 in one game, like all from corners.
Yeah,
I was like, yo. This man is having the worst game, but he's whipping some balls.
He was. So second half, 61st minute. Was it Olivenka? It might have been Olivenka playing on the ball. Lacazette takes the ball off the defender from half field and is on a breakaway by himself and hits the post. Hard luck, maybe, but your top goal scorer, I mean, you put your money on 2 guys. That's gonna finish that in the Arsenal team, and that's Aubameyang and a Lacazette. So you gotta do better, man. You gotta do better. I think looking at it now, it kind of reminds me of, remember when we went to North Carolina to see the preseason game when Arsenal played Fiorentina in 2019, and I think it was Martinelli's first game with us. I think. It was the same situation. Martinelli got a breakaway from half field, and it's almost like you had too much time. And sometimes, as any type of player, when you have too much time in a 1v1 situation, you start overthinking. You start overthinking. You take an extra touch. You may think, okay, I'm waiting for the goalkeeper to make a move. The goalkeeper comes out, makes himself big. Now the goal kind of shrinks, and it looks like. The minute that he took the shot, you could see his face. And he was almost like, oh, shit. What did I do? And I'm looking at the freeze frame right now, and it looks just like it. He takes a shot, and you can just see him go, oh, like an exhale, like, oh, man. And he's just wishing that it just goes down, and it goes up. In hindsight, obviously hindsight's 20/20, right? So we could say anything. He could have chipped the keeper. He could have did a Rabona. He could have did anything he wanted, right? I personally think I don't think he ran out of legs. Like people are sitting there saying, oh, Lacazette's just not in shape and he couldn't do it and he ran out of legs. I don't think that's what it was at all. I think personally he just overthought it. I think what happens, he took a look to his left after he got free in half field, and I think he didn't realize how close the guy to his right was. And when he took the look to his right, by time then, the guy's closing down on him, and the goalie's out. And I just think it's just a lot of bad decisions. And I think at that point, honestly, he just didn't even have to put it in the air. I think he tried to curl it around the keeper to make sure it hit the net.
He should have like whipped it around the keeper.
But it's also hard to do
it like that.
Yeah, I think that's what he was trying to do. Like whip it, but he just got it bad.
Almost chip it. He almost looked like he
looking at the freeze frame. Yeah, it does look like he definitely chipped it. That's definitely what he did, 100%. But I think what he tried to do is whip it, like curl it around him, without it going so high up in the air. And I think. It's just hard. He made it so difficult on himself because for one, right-footed player, you're running across your body. So you're going towards the left, right? And he's running at the goalkeeper, but in a weird angle. So now you have to turn your entire body because that honestly really should be a left-footed shot. You know what I'm saying? I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, if you're running at that angle, especially when you get to the box, put it with your left, and you could really put it anywhere. But obviously, I'm not going to say that to a right-footed striker. You know, you're not going to say, hey, you know, 1v1 in an important game, put the ball on your weak foot, especially, you know, in that situation. But it wasn't like he was running at the goalkeeper at the best angle to turn your entire body that way and curl it. You see what I'm saying? Like, and the goalkeeper honestly didn't do bad. He actually came out at the perfect time, made himself big. I mean, he did all he could. And it's just bad decisions, man. Bad decisions. And look, Lacazette, I have some interesting numbers for you. Lacazette is not even a top 15 in big chances missed in the Premier League. Like, he doesn't miss a lot of chances. He's not a guy that misses a lot of big chances. Him and Aubameyang is actually, there's a lot of plenty of other guys. Patrick Bamford, Marcus Rashford, Firmino, Salah, Kane. There's a lot of guys that also they score more, but there's guys that miss a lot of big chances. And so this is not something that's, you know, reminiscent of Lacazette's play over the years. You know what I'm saying? He's not a guy that normally will miss those. And so I don't kill him too much about it. But again, this is a big game. You know, you got to put those chances away because now we see why. Right. And I say that to say this, you know, going into the later part stages of the game. Yes, Pepe goes in and finds us what we thought was the winner. Pepe ends up coming on for Saka. Aubameyang comes off for Lacazette. Lacazette looks pissed, rightly so. Aubameyang with the new Travis Scott hairdo. Looks like he was going to finish. As soon as he got on, first touch of the game, 77th minute, ball comes into his left foot. And again, tough angle. Tough angle, to be fair, but you got to put it on target, man. You got to put that on target. Have to put that on target. He doesn't even hit the goal. You're in the six-yard box. Ball is getting to your left. And yes, like I said, a tough angle. The ball bounces, true. But you just got to put that on target, man. Have to. And then around the 81st minute, Rob Holding does well to get ball back over to Pepe. Wins the ball in their half. Pepe plays the ball over to Martinelli. Martinelli also gets a chance to that he could have did a little bit better on, but it was a deflection. So I don't really blame him. Martinelli also came on too. And then the goal came in the 85th minute. Ball gets played over to Aubameyang, does really well to get the ball back, plays it in a through ball to Pepe. Pepe outruns the center back and chips it very nicely over the keeper. Really tough angle, by the way. That is a very, like, people really haven't talked about this a lot. This was a very, very tough angle to score that goal on. And Pepe has done very well in goals like that as of late. Reminiscent of, I think, last year against Sheffield, he scored a goal like that where he just kind of tucks it in the corner. But this one's a lot harder. You know, so you know what? We're at the 30-minute mark. Let's take a quick break and come right back and discuss the rest of the game. So, yeah, very, very good goal by Pepe. Again, coming off the bench, this guy, you know, he's been working very hard and I just think it was a good sub by Arteta, definitely a good change of place.
Yeah, I agree.
And been playing good. Purple patch for him so far. What do you think? Outside of the Liverpool game, I don't think he had a great game there. But since then, I think
he's been playing very well. I also feel like nobody did. But you know, I do agree. I don't think he played very well in that Liverpool game. But when he came on in this game, I thought he. He kind of was playing like he had a point to prove.
Yes, definitely.
And that was really good. You know, it kind of obviously it helped him get the start for, you know, the Sheffield game in the weekend. And he did well again by, you know, scoring another goal at that point. But we'll get there when – I mean, he didn't score a goal, but you know what I mean. He played well that game. But we'll get there when we start talking about that game next. But yeah, man, the goal was really good. I also think Aubameyang did very well, you know, mm-hmm. kind of being
definitely
very very active and
worked really hard for that
in that build up play for his goal
for sure.
I do think he should have at least done better with that chance he got at the beginning when he first got in the game, but you know it's
Yeah, it is what it is.
I'm not going to say it's tough because a player of his caliber, he has to at least get it. You know, at least
has to be in target. It was tough because it was bouncing.
Make a save or something.
Yeah, and it was tough because it was bouncing. But
he scored harder goals.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Like I said, it is what it is, I guess. It already happened. I think he made up for it by getting that assist for the Pepe goal.
100%.
But it just comes back down to us missing so many chances.
Let me ask you this. When we scored the goal, did you feel like we'd win the tie 1-0?
Of course.
Didn't at all. I thought when the goal scored. But I celebrated. But I said right after the goal score, I looked at the time. And I was like, they're gonna have chances. Let me just say that. I'm not gonna say I called the fact we would concede, but I knew they were gonna get chances. I said, oh, there's a lot of time left, and we have no idea how to manage games. Our game management is super poor. And lo and behold, I think right before the goal scored, in the 92nd minute, they get the ball. I think it was number 17. Gets the ball on the top of the side of the box and lasers a shot at Leno, who saves it and it hits the post. And I'm just like, oh man! And then it goes for
that chance. I was like, oh, that was one.
I thought that was the one. I said, oh, maybe it's not their day today. And then was it the ensuing corner kick? It was kick.
That corner kick they scored off of.
I
feel like that's a part of our downfall. Is like we do all this hard work and we get ourselves in certain situations, and then when it's time to actually, you know, close out games,
we never seem to do it.
We struggle with that, and that I feel like is the main reason why some people leave, whether they're, you know, playing good or not. It's tough because I think he just wants to get new personnel and shake up the dressing room. So that
I agree with you.
He has his core players, but he needs them to.
Nah, you need more in the core though. Like, you need to get another core. Get another center mid that would become a core. Yeah.
Well, my thing is, you know, I'm talking about like the young players that have made their breakthrough in the first team. Mm-hmm. Those are the core players that I'm talking about.
No, I'm. Yes, but
we,
I mean,
we need the experience. Yes,
yeah, I'm saying because Xhaka's a part of the core. I think Aubameyang's a part of the core. Lacazette's a part of the core. Now, whether some of those guys shouldn't be there or not is a different question. Kieran Tierney
I think Tierney will be a part of the core.
I think he is already.
Lacazette. No, that's what I'm saying. I didn't hear you say his name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, I agree.
My fault. But Lacazette is the up in the air one out of the people that you just called for me.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm not talking about the future though. I'm just saying as of today, this is the core of the core of the team today. Definitely is Xhaka, Lacazette, Aubameyang, you know.
But those are the guys that have been here
for some time. And like I said, some of them will be here, some of them won't. But we definitely will say is we need to add some players to the core of that team. We need to add someone else, you know, to you know, and we'll talk about that you know, more. But let's the goal. The corner kick comes, poor marking by Cedric on the back post. I know we spoke about this a couple days ago. And I look, personally, I think a lot of things, you know, in hindsight, a lot of things could have been done different. For one, I think Leno maybe could have done better to come out. The ball's in the six. And I think my whole rule of thumb with any goalkeeper is for me. You gotta come out. I think any time the ball's in the six, that should be your area. Now, I don't blame Leno. I'm not blaming. I'm just naming the things that could have happened, right? I think the main blame is definitely Cedric. Cedric, you lost your man in back post and the ball got there, right? Regardless of how it got there.
Like he literally got manhandled.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Like you watched the replay, and this man is.
And
like
he started. And he started behind. He started behind him and got around him. That's the worst part about it. He started behind him. Cedric got caught ball watching, and he got around him. So again, Cedric, the main culprit there, got to do better. This hasn't been the first time either. He's had issues with set pieces in the past, had issues with balls coming in the past, right? Secondly, I think Leno could have come out, could have. He decided to stay on the line, but I think he could have come out personally. I think he could have, right? It's his fault, but I'm just saying things that could have been done differently. I think he could have come out. He decided to stay back. And looking back at it, maybe not, because the first initial pass did look like it was slightly outside the six. So maybe he couldn't have come out. Maybe. But the ball still rolls past him. And third, Pepe. I'm not individually pointing him out. Here's my rule of thumb as the 93rd minute in a game that's 1-0 that you need to not concede, right? In a corner kick, if you decide that in this zonal marking, whatever type of marking we're doing, it looked like he wasn't doing the zonal marking. It looked like from this video, it looked like Aubameyang. It looked like Aubameyang and was that Xhaka? Let me see. I'm gonna take a look at it again. Aubameyang and Martinelli there. Yes, Aubameyang, Gabriel, and it looked like Pepe was following number 23. So my thing is, if you have an assignment, a defensive assignment in the box, and the set piece has players running into the box and you are running in with a player, right? Regardless of if the ball accidentally hits you, there was no flick. Actually, the ball directly hit him from the corner. I think and maybe this is a bit harsh on Pepe because, you know, Pepe has had a history.
You're not being realistic.
Hold on. I haven't even said anything yet. So let me say, but let me say it first to the pod and then we can talk about it. And maybe, like I said, it's tough on Pepe because he has a bit of this lackadaisical thing about him when it comes to defending. And it's happened before, too, where he's maybe lost a marker or maybe something happened. Things have happened around him that has caused goals off set pieces or off of others. It is very relevant. It's very relevant in this. I'll tell you why it's relevant in this. It's relevant in it because it speaks to the same attitude of our team, where the game is on the line. There's a 93rd minute. Literally, all we need to do is clear our lines. Game's over. 1-0, zero goals conceded against us at home. We go into Slavia Prague. They have to score on us, right? That it's literally just this. So now you are in your assignment on this corner kick is to mark XY player X, and you're going into the box, knowing that the ball is coming in to the six. You know this. This is your timing. So now you are tracking, right? It is unlucky that the ball hit you, deflected, and got to the second player. Unlucky. We'll say that first. However, you are taught as a player, if a set piece happens and you're going into the box, assume the ball is going to hit you. That is the rule of thumb. Assume. You don't run into the box just to run in, because that's what happened. He looked like he was running into the box just to run in, and the ball hit him, ricocheted off of him, went directly to that other player, which we were unlucky of. It ended up happening. It went directly to the back post, and Cedric got beat. However, in hindsight, it's 2020. If you don't go into the box with your thigh in the air, I'm looking at it right now, still shot. Pepe doesn't look like he's at all ready for the ball to hit him. He doesn't look like it at all. He just ran into the box. The ball ended up hitting him, and it went directly to another player. If you're switched on a little bit more and you don't have that lackadaisical demeanor, you don't have that demeanor that shows like, oh, I just got my foot in the air, then maybe you clear the ball. Maybe if you're assuming the ball is going to hit you, maybe you anticipate that. Maybe not. But what I have been taught as a defender and as a player is that anytime you're marking a set piece and you're going into the box, into the danger area, always assume the worst. You always assume the ball is going to deflect you. That's a part of switching on. It's part of any professional football player. You have to assume the ball is coming. And not only that, when he jumped up, he almost like he like shielded his face a bit. Like he almost didn't know the ball hit him. And if you're going to do that, you might as well not be there. Switch with someone.
Let El Neni do that. Let someone else do that. Because if that's not your game, there's no reason you need to be man marking some one of the tallest guys on the field in the center of the box. Maybe you shouldn't be there, but you're there. If you're there, though, if you are there, your job is to make sure that doesn't happen. I'm sorry. Maybe it's harsh. Maybe it is. And look, Pepe played good. He scored the goal. So it's not like he didn't have a positive impact on the game. But we gotta call it as it is, bro. He's a professional footballer. If you're gonna be in the box, assume that's gonna happen. You have to assume the worst. I'm sorry. You have to. Okay. You have to assume the worst. And I can't let him off the hook. I know you will. I promise I'll let you get your whole thing off. I'm just finishing off with, regardless of what happened, I'm not blaming Pepe for the goal solely. I'm not blaming Leno for the goal slowly. I'm not blame. I mean, Cedric probably gets the most blame, but I can't even really say we lost the game because of Cedric, or we tied the game because of one Cedric mistake. It was a plethora of things. Before the goal happened, Xhaka got the ball half field, played the ball back 10 yards behind Gabriel, and then we had to start all over. And that's how we got placed under attack, rather than just keeping the ball forward, because we do this same thing. It's the same thing we talk about, game management. And Xhaka, again, I know we're going to sit here and say, oh, I'm a Xhaka hater and blah, blah, blah. And I just said, we just had a 5-minute conversation about how important he is to our team, right? But that's my point. If someone so important to our team can't keep the ball upfield for us and puts us under pressure, it goes back to the same thing about game management. We are terrible at managing games. This doesn't happen with other teams. It doesn't. With Team City, with the PSGs, with the Bayern, it just doesn't happen. There's more presence of mind. That's the main thing. That's my main key words there. Presence of mind. Xhaka has to have a presence of mind to not put us under pressure. Gabriel has to have presence of mind to kick the ball upfield rather than trying to play us out the back and then putting us under pressure. Martinelli has to have the presence of mind to not hit the ball off the player and giving the ball right back so he can hit the volley and put us under pressure and get a corner kick. Pepe has to have a presence of mind to run into the box and not let the ball hit him and assume that he may actually get contact with the ball. Cedric has to have presence of mind to make sure that this player doesn't lose his man, because anything can happen. A freak thing like Pepe happens and then we get stuck. You know what I'm saying? All of these things collectively is why we tied the game. Not because of one mistake, but because it's a plethora of three or four things that happen where we just aren't alert. We aren't switched on. And I don't think that's coaching. I think that's players. I think that's within you as a player to have that. To say, I'm going to take responsibility right now and make sure we don't lose. Or I'm sorry, make sure we don't tie this game. Or make sure we don't concede a goal in the last couple minutes of the game. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you. And this goes back to, the original conversation with Pepe. I strongly disagree. And the reason why is because, yes, obviously you got to be ready. But at the end of the day, when something like that happens, it's tough. Because at the end of the day, really and truly, holding it was holding and Gabriel were right there. That the ball got over both of them, literally it skimmed both of their heads. And
it wasn't a bad ball, actually, to be fair. It wasn't a bad ball.
It was a good ball.
It was a really good ball. But yeah, and Gabriel holding both. For sure.
They both literally missed it. And with the ball that's whipped in like that, to react and be able to just kick the ball out like that is not really realistic, and that's why I strongly disagree.
I'm not saying that he should have just cleared the ball.
I'm not letting you finish.
Okay, good. You can go ahead.
Yeah, you're gonna listen to me.
No, go ahead, man. Got you.
At that point, when he's dropping off, obviously to cover the part that he's supposed to be covering, when you're running back and you see that your two taller center backs are right there, then they're supposed to clear that ball out and it skims both of their heads. For you to react with a ball that's being whipped in that hard and fast, it's hard to react to clear it out like that. So the way the ball hit him, I understand. And obviously it is unlucky because, it
very
went straight
unlucky.
To their player.
Very, very but unlucky. We could have got it. It's
for
a
1
in 100
say
chance.
He needs to be alert.
That's okay, all I'm saying.
I'm not letting you finish. Go ahead.
I'm gonna let you finish. You're right.
So, for me, that's a little bit too harsh, because for him to be able to react like that, you're trying to you're not being really realistic, and that's the main reason why I disagree. And because of that, obviously, it could have hit him and went out. It could have hit definitely him and went anywhere.
It could have been an own goal.
The fact that it went there was the fact that, you know, obviously Cedric got beat. He got manhandled and kind of switched off. But like, for me though, it should have been cleared by, you know, our two tallest center backs, and it didn't get cleared. So after that, it's just literally a domino effect of that. When you're looking at the ball and you're expecting your teammate to clear the ball, whether it's with his head or his foot, and he misses the ball, it's tough for you to react like that because it's so fast. And obviously, you know, you've played at a high level. You know it's probably happened to both of us at some point in our careers, whether it's on the offensive side or the defensive side. To be able to react in that situation and kind of get a foot on it or whatever, you know, body part, and actually mean to kick that ball, it's tough.
Definitely tough. You know, I wasn't ever saying
I'm not disagreeing. I'm not disagreeing with you with the part that you got to be alert. But in that situation, I don't think he was not alert. Whether you look at his,
he looked that way.
You know, he definitely didn't look alert. You know, Pepe always looks like he's like not
true.
You
know? And that's what I was saying. That was my entire point.
That's just
so. Then don't be there. Don't be there. Don't be in the box then. Put somebody else there. Put Elneny there. Put someone else there. Don't put the one guy that looks lackadaisical, right? The one guy that has happened before where the ball has had it. This literally has happened before. That's the only reason why I say it's crazy. It's happened before.
I'm gonna keep moving on because
We're not gonna go back and forth. And I'm just saying, I agree with you. I agree with you that it's tough. I agree with you. And like I said, I'll say it again. I don't blame this solely.
I'm not
defending anything. I'm saying I agree. I said it from the very beginning. I said it's unlucky. My literal words to you just now was it's unlucky that it hit him that way. So it's tough. But what's not tough is not being alert. And he looks like he wasn't alert. So we can agree to disagree that he didn't look alert. But I'm looking at the still shot right now. He's covering his face. Doesn't he? And Pepe,
yeah,
I can guarantee you, I know,
here,
but like, he shouldn't be covering his face. We're defending a corner kick. This is very realistic, Sick. He's got to be better than this. He has to. Okay. I'm not saying that he has to clear the ball 80 yards in the stands, but don't cover your face in the 6-yard box when the goal's about to happen or when the ball's about to hit you when the ball's literally getting whipped. And yes, Rob Holding, Gabriel should have did better. Agree, 100%. Cedric should have been better. Agree, 100%. Maybe and all the things leading up to this should have been better, 100%. But listen, when a player like this, who it has happened before, he's been on the receiving end of balls being whipped in and has either been late, lost his man, or this has happened before with Pepe, where he's been trying to defend a corner and a goal gets scored and he's been a part of it. So if that's the case, don't put him there. If there's a 1% chance that this could happen, don't put him there. Because guess what? It happened. We can't change history. It happened. So I can't say he's free. I'm not going to say he's 100% to blame for this at all. I will never say that. The goal, right? This goal is not solely on Pepe, but it's also not solely on Cedric. It's also not solely on Gabriel and Holding for missing the ball. It's on all four of them. It's on all four of them. Whether we want to talk about 20% on him, 80%, that's irrelevant. But it's on all four of those guys because the ball, that should have never happened. So my whole thing is just be alert. That's it. If he was alert and he miskicked it, I put my hands up. You know what? He miskicked it. We're unlucky. But that didn't happen. He didn't even. Pepe has no idea the ball hit him in the thigh until it got to the head of the guy. I'm looking at him right now.
Point. How are you gonna react?
That is my point. No, I'm gonna answer your question. You said to me, how is he supposed to know, right? You know how he's supposed to know? Because he's supposed to assume that would happen. Assume when you go in the box, that is a rule of the ask any coach at any level that's defending a set piece. If you're gonna run into the 6-yard box and defending a set piece, then I'm not being realistic. If I'm a coach and I tell all my players if they're gonna go into the box, assume the ball is gonna hit you, that's not being realistic. Sick? Come on, dog. Come on, bro. Come on, dog. I'm not saying it's being realistic to clear the ball out. into the stands and assume it's going to hit you in the Nike check on your cleat. That's not being realistic.
Sounds like.
No, but I'm going to tell you what it sounds like, so we're not on the same page here. What's being realistic is going to the box and assume. No, we're not, because you're saying that that's what it sounds like. I'm trying to tell you.
You want me to agree with you.
No, I don't want you to agree with me. If you're saying that that's what it sounds like. No, but you said that's what it sounds like. It's not what it. Okay, so let me fix it then, because I don't want you to assume that that's what I'm saying. That's what you said. You said it sounds like you're saying that. Okay, so let me tell you what I'm saying. What I'm saying is don't assume the ball is not going to hit you. Always go there and assume that the ball might hit you. That's it. Pepe looks right now. I'm going to screenshot this and send it to you. Pepe looks right now like he does not think the ball will touch him. And the ball touched him and the goal scored.
Why would you think that when you got your two center backs right there?
You know why? Okay, great question. You know why, Sick? You know why? Because you're defending a corner in a 93rd minute. You just asked me a question. Why should I assume that? You know why? Because you're defending a corner in a 93rd minute that may cost your team Champions League. That's why you assume that. That's why. You go into the box because you're in the middle of the box, Sick. He's in the middle of the six. If that's the case, don't be there. Let someone else do it. Let Elneny do it. You know why? That's Elneny's job. Elneny's a defensive mid. So that's why then don't do it. Don't do it. Don't run into the center of the box. But you can't sit there and say, why would he assume? Are you serious, bro? We're in the 93rd minute of the game. Of course you assume that. You assume anything would happen. You know why? Because we're Arsenal. Everything, anything that bad will happen, Newton's third law. Anything that will bad happen can happen. So guess what? Put yourself on alert. That's it. I'm not. If he would have did that and then scored the own goal, such is life. Such is life, bro. Such is life. Unlucky. Just like the ball hitting you in your thighs. Unlucky. What I can't excuse is you going into the box and looking lackadaisical and not knowing the ball even touched you. That's what I can't excuse that, because that's effort, bro. That's all it is. It's effort. It looks like he did not put the effort there. It looked like he jumped up, didn't assume the ball was going to hit him. It hit him and the goal scored. Again, it's not his fault only because Cedric got beat. Gabriel and those guys got beat. But dog, you have to be on alert. That's it. He just didn't look like he was alert to it at all. And how can you not be alert in a 93rd minute? How? I can't accept that, bro. I'm sorry. I can't. Nothing you're going to tell me is going to be. You can say I'm harsh all you want, bro. But guess what? You got to be harsh, bro. You're a professional footballer. This is a big game for your club. A huge game. Now imagine tomorrow what happens if they go back and defend for 90 minutes and we lose the game. What happens? Because you, Pepe, Cedric, Gabriel, five guys were not alert for 2 minutes, and now we're not in Champions League anymore. So yes, I can be harsh about that. You should be too. Everyone should be, because this shit is important, bro. We can't sit there and just say, oh, well, you know, I mean, how were we supposed to know that the ball was going to hit there? And you're right. We're not supposed to know. But guess what? You got to be alert to that, dog. Assume anything can happen and be alert. That's all I'm saying. That's all I can ask you for is effort, bro. Put the effort. That's it. But again, we're going to move on, because like I said, we're not going to see eye to eye to this. I'm just hoping that tomorrow or Thursday comes and we put three past these guys and we head up in the semifinal, because I can't take any more of these, bro. And it sucks, because like I said, bro, when we were up 1-0, we shouldn't have, to begin with. We shouldn't have been in the situation. But Arsenal, right? Raising our high blood pressure. All right, so 1-1. 1-1. And
game's done after that. Literally,
yeah, right. Literally, right. Literally, right after that.
I think that was it.
Holy crap, bro. Holy crap. Just disappointing.
I remember I was talking to you, like, because we just had met up like maybe like an hour after the game.
Yep.
And I was saying, like, I was telling you, like, I wonder what Arteta is going to say. And I still haven't even, because I was so upset that I still haven't even like went back and watched the interview of what he said after the game, because I really wanted to know, like,
yeah,
what he's going to say after this.
He was pissed.
You know, because for me, though, I feel like it goes back on him a little bit with his changes that he made so late in the game.
Yeah.
Obviously, if he made those chances a little earlier, it would have.
You never know. It could have. It could have. Different. But yeah, it could have definitely changed it.
But literally, he made those changes, and I think we scored what 7 minutes or 8 minutes after he made those changes. Like, yeah. It literally was a was like an immediate effect in the game. So I was like, everybody literally was saying like, yo, what took you so long to make these changes? Like, I don't know, but
for sure,
it is what it is.
It is.
And obviously we're going into the weekend playing Sheffield, and it's kind of like,
I'm glad the response came from Sheffield though. I am glad.
Yeah. But my thing is like, yes, I'm glad, but how many of these dudes are you going to play on Thursday though? Cause like at the end of the day, like a lot of these guys that played in this game, I'm looking at the lineup. Granted, you know, I'm hoping Shaka can go back in the midfield, but other than that, like the whole back line is different. Martinelli doesn't usually start. I hope he can get the nod on Thursday.
Yeah.
But my thing is like,
well, let's go for the lineup first.
How much of I'm looking at it now. I got Leno and then Xhaka on the left, Partey holding in the center back pairing, Chambers, and then we have Ceballos, Partey in the double pivot, and then we got Martinelli, Saka, Pepe, and then Lacazette. Mm-hmm. So that right there is what? You got four changes in the back line. So that's four. That's four, and then you have Martinelli. That's five. Do you want? You could say Ceballos is six because he did start last game because of Xhaka's illness. But I take that back. Xhaka played Thursday, but I meant to say I'm from the Liverpool game. But so even so, like it's tough because yes, I'm glad. Obviously, we got the. You know, the response that we're looking for. But my thing is how many of these players are you going to play on Thursday?
I mean, it depends.
Who are you going to lead honestly out? Honestly, depends. Like, that's my... And obviously, I'm not asking you. It's just a question as in, like, what's he going to do? Because that's going to be very crucial come Thursday. And
true.
Obviously, that's
going to... I would like to see Pablo Mari, man. To be perfectly honest.
I was gonna ask you, is our best center back pairing at this moment Pablo Mari and Robert Holding and Rob Holding?
Statistically, it is.
Okay, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get too deep into like. The games played, blah blah blah.
Yeah, for sure.
Because then, like obviously that goes into that skews a lot of things. Adds a whole bunch of different stuff.
But like, statistically,
based on the games that based on the games we've seen, and the center back pairings that we've had, well, pretty much it's Pablo Mari and Holding or Gabriel and Holding.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna answer the question. Actually, no, I want to hear your question. I want to hear your answer.
The best right now, probably, and I don't even want to really say that because Holding has a mistake in him, but yeah, it is. I think it's our best in terms of holding the ball. That's for sure. Especially with David Luiz being out. And how long how long is he out for?
He's done. He's done for the season. I'm pretty sure. Cause he got surgery.
Oh, okay.
He's kind of, I mean, it was a minor surgery. But it's David Luiz, and he's older, so it's going to take him – I think it's going to take him a little bit longer to get him back to form. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously he's going to need the extra couple weeks to kind of get fit again to, you know, be ready for whatever. But I don't know. I think he – they said it was a minor knee surgery, but
mm-hmm. –
still a surgery, so you know it obviously is going to take a week or two for the
more than likely
the stitches and stuff to heal, and then he starts his rehab, so that's another week or two, and then he still has to get fit, and that's another week or two, and like I said, I just feel like he's like I'm scratching him as a him and Tierney, I'm scratching both of them as you know, not playing for the rest of the season, but.
Word.
My thing is I personally think that's our best center back pairing at the moment.
Because I would like to. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Let me let you finish first.
The only reason why I say that is because Well, you kind of said it already, but we hold the ball. And you know, with Arteta's style, he wants to play out the back. He wants to keep the ball. He wants the other team to kind of work and kind of and make them, you know, at least press us a little bit and kind of tire them out. So that way we go at them, blah, 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 blah. But with Gabriel in there, I think he's the more athletic and more physical defender. But he can't really he doesn't have the feet and going forward passes and all that type of stuff like Pablo Mari does. So that's his only downfall. And I feel like the only way he can – well, I'm not going to say the only way, but
no, I know,
realistically, I feel like for him to kind of secure his spot in the back four is if we get – or if – Saliba or Mavropanos come back and they solidify that right center back spot. Because both of them, obviously that's not what I want, but I'm just saying they're already on our team on loan. They're both playing well, XYZ. But for me, I feel like he will do better if one of those two come into the team because obviously we can play through them and he can be that outlet rather than. Because right now, I feel like Gabriel is the outlet rather than Robert Holt. I keep saying Robert. I don't know if his full name is Robert Holding. I know it's Rob Holding, but like, he's the outlet in our two center back pairings when they play. And I just feel like it's tough because obviously at that point, we always got to go long. And that doesn't suit us because we don't have players that are just going to win the ball and kind of. Yeah. You know, get us the ball back after it's played down the field. But that's my thing. I'll let you go now.
No, you said it all. You said it all. I mean, I think we hold the ball better with them. I think we defend better with them. I was not a big fan of Pablo Mari. You know that. I was very skeptical. But he has since proven me wrong so far. And I personally think I don't see the issue with trying him and Gabriel personally. I don't see.
Me neither. But bad. You know, Arteta loves his right-footed center back and his left-footed center back. So that's why I think we brought it up a couple pods ago, or maybe we were just talking like with just me and you off the podcast. But I know there was a time when we both like, why not try it because it works. In our head,
It's just like, so is it that deep? Is it that deep, Arteta? Is it that? And on top of that,
if it comes on your right foot, just clear that.
You can't tell me that Rob Holding is so much better with the ball as a right center back than Gabriel would be. At right center back, you know what I'm saying? Or even Pablo, Pablo's that great on the ball, play him at right center back then. You know what I'm saying? Since he's supposed to be the second best player in the ball, play him at right center back. You can't tell me that Rob Holding is better than him with the ball at his feet, because he's not. Pablo is much better with the ball at his feet than Rob Holding is. So I mean,
and my thing is not to compare, but like, look at Pep. Pep plays Ruben Diaz and Laporte at center back, and they're both left-footed.
Both of them are very good with the ball. With the ball at their feet.
But I'm just.
They're both. They ain't no Gabriels. But yeah, no, I feel you.
And I feel like Laporte is better. And the reason why, obviously, the two center backs are better than ours, but it's the same in a sense because Laporte, I feel like, is better with the ball at his feet than Diaz, in my opinion. But obviously. And he puts him on the opposite. Sorry, excuse me. And he puts Laporte on the right side, and he still plays, you know, just as good. So that's why I'm just like, yo, why not try it? And I felt like we should have tried it in, you know, these Premier League games to kind of get a feel. It would have been easier if we done it in a FA Cup game or something. But obviously, you know, we're not in any of those competitions anymore.
Got you.
So it's a little bit tougher, but. With the Premier League season pretty much being done now that we lost to Liverpool, I always thought like, yo, why not use this Sheffield game? They're in last place to kind of test out certain things. But I don't know.
No, I hear you, bro.
He's definitely adamant on keeping that right-footed center back and left-footed center back on their respective sides. So, I mean, I personally think if he's going to do that, you gotta pair Pablo Mari and Rob Holding.
You have to.
And if I'm not mistaken, I feel like they're undefeated when they have started
together. Something like that. It's like a really interesting stat about it, and it is something along those lines.
I've been trying to like look back to see what games they both have started, but it's usually one of the other.
I wish we could play those two, but then again, I don't think that we're going to try that tomorrow.
Thursday. Of course.
I think it should be Pablo and Holding. I mean, yeah. It's tough because Gabriel is our best defender. We keep it a buck. He's our best defender. But he's mistake prone. Is he really? How many mistakes have you made this season?
Playing out the back? Yeah.
Maybe.
And that's all. I'm not talking about defending wise. He's a bit aggressive, but that's just the type of defender he is. He wins a lot more than he loses out on.
Of course,
he gives up some fouls, but most times when he's aggressive like that, he wins the ball. So like, it's you can't really tell him to kind of calm down. You can, but it hasn't gotten to a point where it's like, yo, you gotta relax, bro, because you're starting to cause us certain free kicks, or you're starting to cause us to have a lot of pressure on us. That really hasn't been the case too often. Obviously, like I said, he's had a couple cases where he's either gotten that red card or he just made a bad foul and put us under pressure. But for the most part, it hasn't been like, yo, you got to calm down. It's been on the good note for the most part. He's had a couple aggressive tackles, and you're like, okay, we need that.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But
I think it's tough because it's like you said, we all know he is the best. He is mistake prone, and in this game, I think it is best to play Pablo and Rob because Slavia is gonna come out and defend. They're gonna defend and try to counter because all they need to do is tie 0-0 and they go through. So
that's why I say we need to do that because we have to draw them out.
Yeah,
and if we can't keep the ball with our defenders, they're just gonna drop off.
Correct.
They'll give Gabriel and Holding all the time in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, y'all make that decision.
Yep.
I'll let y'all got that. Y'all two are gonna have to beat us, and if we leave that in their hands, boy.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's really tough.
I agree with you.
Really, really, 100%.
So give me your 11 for Slavia.
We're gonna skip over this Sheffield. Let's talk about these goals real quick.
We should.
Quick, because I will say, even though it was Sheffield, we had some really good goals this game.
We did.
I don't want to go
in it too in depth
because like I said, it's Sheffield, so we don't have to go too
in depth. And we're close to time too, but the back line. Did we go through the whole team? We went through the team, right?
Yeah, I told you the team.
Yeah, we went through the team. Okay. And so Lacazette double on the day, man of the match.
That was a really good play.
The first goal, right? Very, very great link of play. Typical Arsenal goal.
He started it too.
Oh, yeah, he did. Started it and ended it, as he seems to be doing in a lot of these games.
A lot more.
Yeah. And I'm glad that, I'm glad he got a game like this because he deserves it. Man has been working hard, this is a guy that has been taken out of the. Again, I have a lot of stats. I got a lot of stats that shows that that Lacazette is a much better striker than most people,
give him credit for.
13 goals in the Premier League right now. He currently has more goals than Marcus Rashford, Riyad Mahrez, Aguero, of course. We know that. Let me see who else.
Gundogan, who's played as a center forward for City, who's featured up there this season, if I'm not mistaken, and a couple others. He's only like one goal behind like Patrick Bamford. He's more than Calvert-Lewin, I think. He's right behind let me see. I have the numbers right here. He's one goal behind Calvert-Lewin, one goal behind Son, who's going to be PFA Player of the Year, shortlist. Patrick Bamford, one goal behind them as well. And he's played less minutes than all three of those guys. He's been subbed off more than all three of those guys. There's another couple people that have said that he's a PK merchant. If you take the PKs away, if you take PKs away from everyone, I think he goes up to like the third top goal scorer in the Premier League. Because if you take the 9 PKs away from Bruno Fernandes, and he's not at 16. If you take the PKs away from Patrick Bamford, from all these other guys, they go down. He's only had 3 penalties converted. Let's say that. So he'll still be at double digits. So look, I think you could, if you consider, and then on top of that, Patrick Bamford, Werner, Calvert-Lewin, Sadio Mane, Jamie Vardy. Oh, he also has more goals than Jamie Vardy as well too. Chris Wood, Adams, Salah, Sterling, Firmino. He also has more goals than Sterling as well. More goals than Firmino as well. But then the guys that I'm naming right now, Patrick Bamford, Timo, Calvert-Lewin, Mane, Vardy, Salah, Sterling, Firmino, Ollie Watkins, Harry Kane, Martial, Rashford, Son, Richarlison, and Diane have all missed more chances than Lacazette has this season in the Premier League. As a matter of fact, Bamford has missed double the amount of big chances that that Lacazette has missed this year. Lacazette has missed 9. Patrick Bamford has missed 18 big chances. Timo Werner, 16. Calvert-Lewin, 15. Mane, 15. Vardy, 15. Salah, 13. Sterling, 12. Firmino, 11. So my point to show you that, he's not the most clinical striker, but it's not like this guy's missing chance after chance every week. You know what I'm saying? And his 13 goals they lead our team. And goals. He's been leading. What you're asking a striker to do. And this is a guy that's been playing sporadically all season. He hasn't started all the games. He's played less minutes than all those guys we've talked about. So imagine if he had Patrick Bamford's minutes. Imagine if he had the amount of big chances these guys have missed. You know what I'm saying? It'd be a different case.
Yeah.
So, look, I'm glad that we're getting to see, him starting to get a bit more credit and obviously the contract situation is the contract situation this summer. I've always been a big fan of his, but I could understand business-wise if we needed to let him go. I would hope that he stayed for maybe another 2-year deal and you get Balogun and Martinelli and you have them learn behind two professionals like Aubameyang and Lacazette who have carried this team in terms of the goal scoring and creating chances really in the last couple of years. And those guys have all said they've been watching him. Those guys have all said that they owe a lot to his game. Martinelli has said that. Emile Smith Rowe has said that. Saka has said that. It's no surprise, right, that they all feel the way they feel about Lacazette because they say about how much of a great professional this guy is. So it is what it is. So we'll go into the first goal, which was minute number... The first goal happened. 33? Yeah, 33rd minute.
33. Nice little combination.
Yes, great combination play. And Danny Ceballos, too, with the flick. I mean, great flick as well. He had a pretty good game. We talked about that.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
he has these in bunches, right?
Yeah, man. And that's the thing. But I need that against, like, top better teams. Because
yeah, more important teams, for sure.
He's due for that to where he will
100%
play really good against, some of the mid or lower table teams.
But correct.
Then when it comes to, like the Liverpools or Man Cities and those types of teams, he kind of disappears. And it's like, why, bro? We need you to show up for these other games. And then, like, you obviously you're here to kind of make a statement for when you go back to Real Madrid, but like as soon as you get back there, they're about to sell you, bro. Because like,
yep,
Sure are. You're not gonna make any statement by, you know, the games that you're doing and the way you're playing and some of these games against some of the top teams.
For sure.
But
I agree.
You know.
I agree 100%.
Granted, second half comes in and then we get Martinelli's goal, which was really big time for him in the 71st minute. I think he needed that. That's like his first goal in what, a year? Because of all the injuries and all the stuff that he kind of accumulated over the time. So I feel like him getting that goal kind of definitely helped us, or helped his confidence. Obviously it helped us because it went and made us go up 2-0, but helped his confidence and kind of his, like I said, his confidence to go into the game on Thursday. So that's why I'm hoping that he can kind of get that start. But
we'll see. No, I agree with you 100%. I'm hoping that as well.
The third goal in the 85th minute for Lacazette again, I was actually very happy because that turn from Partey, was
very smooth, bro. Very, 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 very smooth. I mean, and that
for him to kind of thread the needle.
And all right, again, not to compare because I'm not really trying to do that, but I think that's one of the main differences I see between Xhaka and Partey, is just that bit of ability. I don't see. And again,
I agree.
They do different things. I don't want to even get into that rabbit hole. I know
what you're trying to say. I agree with you 100%. But my thing is, I think Xhaka is more comfortable with playing like the long balls in the air, and that's what I. And that's
well for sure. For sure, he has that in his bag, definitely 100%. And to be honest, Xhaka probably has that pass in his bag too. You know what I'm saying? If we really keep it a
beat, yeah, I agree.
He has that in his bag too.
I agree.
But that turn is not something that even a lot of D mids have. That's an elite defensive mid, elite central mids that have those.
The D mids that are a little bit more athletic will try.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure, 100%.
And I do agree with you. Like, I don't think Xhaka has that in his bag, but it's because he's not mobile enough.
Yeah, laterally,
and my thing is I feel like it's just a confidence thing. You know, he takes that. Yeah,
I think it's an ability thing and a confidence thing.
Listen to me. The reason why I say that is because look at him, man, and don't get it. Because I know you're about to be like, what? But just listen. My thing is, and I'm not comparing these two by any means. Only thing I'm comparing is their speed. That's the only thing I will compare between these two. Look at a guy like Busquets. Super slow.
Mm-hmm.
But a turn like that and those type of, like, drop your shoulders and kind of make you rock and then push the ball by you. Nothing about Busquets is fast, but he does that turn. Not that specific turn, but he will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's done those turns before, past too. You. He has done that turn
before, too. Okay, I'll say that. Yeah, he's done those turns.
Yeah, 100%. But,
like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like it's a confidence thing because Busquets is not fast at all.
For sure, But he has ability, though. He has that ability. That's the thing. Yes, you're right. Confidence is 100% a part of that.
But you also have to have
the lateral. Like, Busquets isn't fast, for sure. He might be slower than Xhaka, to be honest with you. But laterally, he has that ability. And in tight spaces, Busquets is also prime. Busquets is elite. You know what I'm saying? He can get out of those situations.
I also feel like him, you know, him being in La Liga, of course he has to figure that out a little bit more because you need to have that technical ability to get out of that situation. Not to say Xhaka is not technical, because I feel like he's very technical. He's just super slow, like you said, laterally. Yeah. And he just, my thing is like, that's why, like, I hate when, like, he gets put in these situations because he's going to fail every time.
But and that, like in that role, you're going to be in that situation a lot. I'm not disagreeing. You know what I'm saying?
That's the tough part. And that's why, like, I feel like he should be not like the place where Partey is at right now. You know, we had this discussion last year that, like, Xhaka was the person that was supposed to be doing what Partey was, like, not was. He was Partey last year.
100%.
Being that person that's supposed to break down tackles.
Break the lines, too. Yeah.
Break the lines. Mm-hmm. He's not that. And I've been trying to tell them, like, he's not that player. Like, you know, like when you put a player that doesn't do certain things in a certain situation and it doesn't get off like how you want it to, it's like, yo, this player can't really. But you also got to see that, though. Like, and that's why I was kind of confused. Like, you guys are always putting Xhaka in this situation knowing damn well he can't do it. Like,
but it's not like we're putting him in the situation. I mean, the game calls for him to be in that situation, though. You know what I'm saying? As a center mid, as a defensive mid, he's going to be in those situations. You're going to be in tight spaces.
He's not a defensive mid, though.
So what is he then?
Not a defensive
mid. What is he, holding mid? I mean, we're just semantics at this point.
I mean,
it's semantics. All right, put it this way. In a deep-lying playmaking position, you're going to be in those situations. It's just natural. It's going to be. You can't tell me another. Find me a deep-lying playmaker that doesn't get in those situations.
Jorginho.
He's in those. He's definitely in those situations. Definitely. That's why he don't play. That's why he ain't playing like that.
Well, anymore. Nah,
He's been playing better now.
He's been playing good this year.
And Jorginho, I can't.
Give him another contract.
But Jorginho's a little bit more mobile.
I was joking.
But I don't disagree with what you're saying. So even that, we're gonna touch on this briefly, and then we're gonna finish this up. Even that, as much as we say that about his limitations, Xhaka, super important to the team. Because look what happened today. He had to play left back, right? And didn't put a foot wrong. Still led the team in passes at left back. You know what I'm saying? Still had pretty good, pretty decent pass numbers for what it's worth. And I'll have to look that up again. But I know he led the team in passing as a left back. And he's a glue guy. He's a guy that kind of keeps the team together. And sometimes it's unfortunate that we have to have him do it because we don't have anybody else to do it. But other times it works out because he does, you know, he plays that role. He is the guy that kind of the alpha in that situation, right? 94.9 pass accuracy today. I mean, that day, 89 touches. You know, so I can't fault him for that at all. You know what I'm saying? Still 78 passes, 95% of it accurate. 10 long balls, 9 accurate. Defensively,
played very well that game.
He made a tackle, granted, three interceptions, one block. Yeah, granted, it's the worst team, but whatever. He can only play who's in front of you. Abby played badly. Exactly. We'd be talking about this very badly, right?
We'd be killing them.
Wasn't dispossessed at all. I mean, you know, look, I understand the importance of Granit Xhaka, and I keep comparing him to Jordan Henderson, but I only compare him to Henderson in the sense of I don't think that the finished product of Arsenal doesn't have Xhaka as the starting player in any of the most important games. And I think it's the same with Henderson at Liverpool. If it's a Champions League final, I don't see Henderson starting. I think their best 11.
Liverpool's not the same without Henderson.
But I think their best 11, I think you shoehorn him in because of his importance. But I'm talking about if you tell me pick the best 11 players on Liverpool, Henderson's not in that.
You're talking about on paper.
Yeah, I'm saying on paper because I'm just saying just pick the best 11 players. He starts over Fabinho. Of course not. No, Fabinho's one of the best demons in the world.
Listen, him and Fabinho are in the middle together.
I think it's Fabinho, Wijnaldum, and Thiago. I think those are the three best center mids on that team. In certain game situations, you need Henderson. But I think primarily, if you're playing against City or you're playing in a big game and you want to put your best 11 in, I don't think Henderson he fits that those. Who do you take? Wijnaldum, who's about to go to Barcelona? I don't think so. I don't think so, personally. I mean, I understand the importance, of course. I'm not saying on paper. We can even take it off of paper. Take it off of paper. Give me your best players, the best. Not the glue guys, not the best tactically for the system that you're playing. Give me the best 11 players. He's not one of the best 11 players on that team. He's just not. There's 11 better footballers on that team. But tactically, if you say give me, you know, the best 11 for Klopp's system
different. Record. I'm a big Jordan Henderson hater, but I give him his credit.
I give him his credit too. They are a different team when he doesn't play. I agree with you 100%. And Henderson has said this.
Henderson said this in the past that he's had to step his game up and that he knows that he had to play lights out to even feature in this team because he knows that they're better players. He knows that. He knows that. He knows his role. And that's even, and that, I think, in itself makes him even more important to the team. You see what I'm saying? Because you need guys like that. You need guys that know their role. You need guys that aren't gonna and I think that's a little bit of what Xhaka lacks. A little bit. Because, you know, Xhaka does, you know, he'll get in his feelings. He'll get in his feelings. He's human, right? Everybody's human. So, you know, he'll do he'll take the shirt off and when he gets booed and maybe undeservedly, but, you know, it is what it is. He's human. But if Xhaka can be into that, if he can take that Jordan Henderson role and live with that in the team and say, look, side over self, right? I'll do anything to make this team better. Because I love this team. That's Henderson. Henderson bleeds Liverpool. Anything. If Henderson has to sit on the bench and play 5 minutes a game, he'll make sure that 5 minutes is the best 5 minutes of his life, right? And if Xhaka could take that role on for us and help propel us forward, if we get better players than him and he takes that role and says, hey, look, I'll sit down, but guess what? When I play, I'm the leader of this team. If he goes and does that, sign him up for 10 years.
No, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Sign him up.
I personally think he needs to be a part of this whole process, even when we get those better players.
100%. Just like Henderson. Henderson has to be a part of that team. And there'll be games where he has to start over a better player like a Fabinho, over a better player like a Wijnaldum. So there are games that he will start in that. And just like Xhaka, there will be games that Xhaka may have to start over Partey or whoever we partner with Partey. But that doesn't mean that he's going to be one of the best 11 that we have. You see what I'm saying? And I think that is how we move forward because you need guys like that. You need it. Gundogan for 3 years wasn't starting for City. Look at him now. Top goal scorer. They're winning Premier League. Right? Because you have guys like that. You have guys that will sit there and sit down, be a part of the team, and when their number's called, they perform. I need that. We need that. We desperately need that. But good for Xhaka. I don't think left back is something he's going to be playing much of moving forward.
I think it
does need to be Cedric or Saka. I think on Thursday it's probably going to be Cedric. Well,
we're already here, so I'm gonna let you go first since you're starting.
So Leno in the goal.
See what I changed.
I think I got Cedric at left back. I'm gonna play Bellerin at right back. I guess we're gonna go Holding and Mari. Because of what we talked about earlier. Yeah. I'm gonna go Partey Xhaka and Odegaard is still hurt. Smith Rowe still hurt, right? No, Smith Rowe's not hurt. Yeah. Smith Rowe's back now, right?
Smith Rowe's hurt, but they say he might be back. I think tomorrow we'll see if he's able to make that late push for being able to be fit in the game. So
yeah,
we'll see.
If he's fit. I think I'm going to go, and I'm going to go with the same front four from Sheffield. I'm going to go Martinelli, Smith Rowe, Saka on the right, Lacazette up top. Mainly because Aubameyang is supposedly hitting. Huh?
You mean Saka.
Who did I say on the right? I didn't say Saka on the right?
No, you said Smith Rowe.
No, I said Martinelli on the left, Smith Rowe in the 10, Saka on the right, and Lacazette up top.
Oh, that's not the same front four.
Isn't that not the front three that played?
No.
Willian played, right?
No, I'm telling you now. The same front four from Sheffield. It was Martinelli on the left. Mm-hmm. Lacazette, obviously the top. Mm-hmm. Saka at the 10, and then Pepe on the right.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, so no, I would go Saka on the right, Smith Rowe in the 10, and Martinelli in the left.
Okay, so I'd start the kids. If Smith Rowe's not playing,
if Smith Rowe isn't playing, then I would put Pepe in the right, Saka in the midfield.
like we did, then I would have the same front three. I wouldn't start Aubameyang only because apparently he's sick, and even if he's not sick, he's just not, you know, he hasn't played in some time. So I think you definitely, if we're nil all at halftime, I think he comes on at halftime. I think you take off any of those guys, any of them. I don't care. I don't know. You get him on the field. Take off Xhaka. Play one. Take off Xhaka. Play Saka deeper. And if you have to, I don't care. Well, I don't care what you need to do. I don't think it's going to happen either. My point is anything. Yeah, if it's Martinelli, it's Martinelli. If it's Lacazette, it's Lacazette. If it's Saka, it's Saka. If it's Pepe, it's Pepe. I don't care. If we are nil all at halftime, Aubameyang comes on. 100%. So,
okay.
But yeah, that's my front. That's my 11. Who do you have?
Is this what I want, or is this what I think Arteta is going to do? Is that how we kind of?
No. We're going with what you think Arteta is going to do.
Okay, so
because if it was up to me, I would have had Pablo and Gabriel playing left back.
So I'm gonna go the same back five. Leno, Cedric. Mari holding, and then Bellerin on the right. I guess I should have said same back six with Xhaka and Partey. I'm going to go Martinelli. I'm going to go the same front four as Sheffield, like exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Martinelli, Lacazette, Saka at the 10, Pepe on the right.
Okay. Score prediction.
Score prediction, I think we win comfortably 2-0.
Nice. With that back line, I'm going to say 3-0. Okay. I'm going to say 3-0. Comfortably. I'm going to say Martinelli with a goal, Lacazette with a goal, Aubameyang comes on with the winner. I mean, with the brace.
Okay. I'm gonna stick Martinelli. I'm gonna say Pepe again, and then I said 2-0. Yeah. I am gonna say Aubameyang assist though.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, let's hope for the best. We're definitely around time, but good pod nonetheless. We haven't done a pod this long in a while. Definitely a good one.
Definitely good talk for sure.
I am hoping for the best. And if we can get, who do you have on the weekend?
Fulham
on the weekend. Was that Sunday or Saturday?
I don't think it's on Sunday, but don't think we know any Fulham fans.
No, don't think so.
I don't think
so. Well,
I don't think so.
I think
I don't know any Fulham fans.
No, I don't think so.
You should have been
8:30. Yikes. Okay, well, we'll probably try to get a pod maybe after the Fulham game. And see if we can just discuss us moving on to the semifinal of Europa League. We'll probably get a crash course up against Villarreal and Emery.
That'll be a nice little reunion.
That should be fun.
He'll definitely be.
Oh, he's up for this. 100% up for that. But all right, so we'll see where we're at from there, but. If you guys have been listening for this long, we appreciate you, of course, for being a part of the team. Thank you for listening, obviously for subscribing. We had some questions, but we had some technical difficulties from a couple of days ago, so we couldn't really get those questions in. But we'll definitely do some questions for the post game pod, which will be after Fulham game, more than likely. So, if nothing else, we appreciate you guys for listening and staying with us. Obviously, remember to like, comment, subscribe, all that great stuff. Share the pod. We really do appreciate you guys for doing so. Everyone that has been doing so and been rocking with us from day one, thank you very much. It's much appreciated. You guys have no idea, of really humbling experience to have such great feedback from you guys. anything else, Sick?
Nah, man. Kind of said it all. I just get on top of this. Appreciate all the support that we've been getting. We'll definitely keep it up for you guys. And yeah, man. Thank you guys again. Hope you guys have a good night. Good day.
For sure, man. Definitely. Yeah. Hope for all the best. If nothing else, we'll be talking soon.
Definitely, bro. All right, man.
All right. Peace.